Hello and welcome to the Martian Drive-In Podcast number 22. My name is Terry Frost, and this time around I'm going to do something a little bit different for the podcast and play you some music from genre films rather than talking about a couple of movies. There's going to be a lot of different stuff. Some you've heard before, some you haven't. But in order to save my throat after my recent bout of the flu, I thought I would assail your ears with something a little more euphonious than the sound of my voice. So grab yourself a drink and a snack, and we'll be back in a couple of moments with some movie music. The Martian Drive-In Podcast appears every 4 weeks. It's a podcast of speculative fiction, fantasy, and horror appreciation. Feedback is very important, so it's Soylent Green, in fact, and you can give feedback via my email address, cultguru, K-U-L-T-G-U-R-U @gmail.com. You can find the Paleo Cinema Cafe on the Book of Faces, or you can send a voicemail to area code 206-338-9397. Now, occasionally we do get some adult content on this podcast, so if you're easily offended by that, then you need to lighten up and accept the fact that the world is a diverse and wonderful place. Okay, how is everybody? Yes, I'm recovering from a week of the flu. It happened to be a week. I've got 2 weeks staycation at the moment. And, of course, the first week of it I spend feeling terribly unwell and supplying mucus at a prodigious and disgusting rate. So this time around, rather than doing a couple of movies, because I've been muzzy-headed all week and haven't really had time to do it, I thought I'd throw together a compilation of some of my favourite science fiction, fantasy and horror movie music and throw that at you as an alternative just this time around. So I'm going to get started, and I'm going to go with one of the great classics of science fiction. This music is by a guy called Russell Garcia, an American who retired to New Zealand and died very recently. And it is the title music from one of the great all-time wonderful, marvelous, pisses miracles and shits wonder science fiction films, The 1960 Time Machine. Time Machine never gets enough love when it comes to lists of best science fiction films, I think. People throw in stupid things like 2001. You know, basically, let's go to the moon, let's go to Jupiter, let's come back as a giant space baby. I mean, that movie is absurd, slow, turgid. And if it wasn't for the special effects, nobody would remember it. And that's my first little rant for the podcast. Let's move on to something a bit different. By the way, I'm self-medicating with Frangelico here in a shot glass, so if things get a bit weird, you'll know why. I'm going to do Spiral Waltz, which is from La Decima Vittima, The Tenth Victim, a very groovy pop art science fiction film from the mid-1960s, starring Ursula Andress and Marcello Mastroianni. It's by Piero Piccioni, one of my favourite Italian composers of the time, apart from people like Morricone and Nino Rota and all those kind of guys. This is the English language version of Spiral Waltz, which is the theme from La Decima Vittima, The Tenth Victim.
I aim to get you, take this warning. What just happened, deadly but nice? Better think twice. If you fall for me, you will soon find my lips are on fire, but I made of ice. I want to play a game of love with you. Let's try some kissing for a start. But when I play with you, you'll lose your heart. Love, love, love me. Come on, love me. My lips are on fire, but I made of ice. Come to me, let's embrace. Don't pretend to resist me. You can't wait to call me up, touch me and kiss me. Beware, beware, you've been warned. My lips are on fire, but I'm made of ice. Try to thrill me. Please caress and obsess and possess me all night through. Try melting my cold heart by making some wonderful love to me. Since you don't have a chance, why don't you give in? Your heart's the target, I will win. Might as well enjoy it. Come here, my love. Talk no more, let's begin. My lips are on fire, but I made of ice.
They don't write songs like that for science fiction films anymore. More's the pity. It's all, you know, bombastic Hans Zimmer shit for Superman movies and things like that. We need a good theme song to a, I think, to a Marvel science fiction film, perhaps. So, you know, like Avengers the Avengers of the Age of Ultron needs to have a kind of upbeat song, maybe sung by Shirley Bassey or Tom Jones. That would be a good thing. The only thing doing it right at the moment are James Bond films. You're getting a theme song with a James Bond film. You know you're getting your money's worth when that happens. Anyway, on to the next track. Given that this is the Martian Drive-In podcast, it's probably some good to do something from the drive-in era, which is kind of in theme with the title of the podcast. This one is a classic. It's the Randells with the Martian Hop.
We have just discovered an important note from space. The Martians plan to throw a dance for all the human race.
On the floor, I can't see.
there you go. They don't write them like that one anymore either. So I'm going on to something a little bit different this time. I know a lot of people who are Doctor Who fans are wedding themselves about the Doctor Who 50th anniversary celebrations. You've got Peter Capaldi coming up as the new Doctor Who, John Hurt as the really old Doctor Who. You've got Mark Gatiss has written a teleplay about the start of Doctor Who, the TV series. And generally, unless Peter Capaldi comes out and says, fuckity fuck fuck, when he plays Doctor Who, I don't really know what the fuss is about. It's not like they're going to put out a new Daniel Craig James Bond film in a week's time, or a Quentin Tarantino directed Modesty Blaze movie. This is a TV series, people. But just to keep you happy, I'm going to play a Doctor Who track. This one is from Dalek Invasion 2150 AD, the 1960s movie version of Doctor Who, with Peter Cushing playing Doctor Who, kind of like a dithering old fart. And it's by a guy called Bill McGuffrey, and here it is, just to keep you guys off my back. Yeah, that's enough of that. I was just thinking about Chuck Norris while that was playing for some reason, and all of those memes about how tough Chuck Norris is are kind of stupid as far as I'm concerned. I'll give you a couple of reasons. First one, Bruce Lee beat the shit out of him in Way of the Dragon. Second one, Dean Martin beat the shit out of him in one of the Matt Helm movies. He was playing a henchman and acting about as well as you could expect a karate expert to act. And he got beaten up by Dean Martin. So, suffer, Chuck Norris. You simply don't have it. You're nowhere near as cool as Lee Marvin. Or even Dean Martin. So, on to the next track. I liked the TV series UFO. I liked it when I saw it when I was a kid. And I still like it. I think it's cool. I think it was trying to do something nobody else was doing. I liked the fact that they had women on a moon base wearing really funny purple wigs and macrame jumpsuits. I liked the groovy cars they had. And I liked the fact that, in spite of all of that, they actually tried to do some serious plot lines occasionally. All credit to Gerry Anderson for that. He never tried to do that sort of shit again. He went back and did rubbish like Space 1999, which is dated a lot worse than UFO has for some reason. But anyway, here is Barry Gray's Butte theme from the TV series UFO. See, that's how TV themes should sound. You've got to have that kind of Moog synthesizer sound in them. They've got to sound like they're urgent and exciting and really great. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have anything like that at all. I should tell you about Thor the Dark World too. Saw Thor the Dark World with Sal. We saw it 3D. We saw Stellan Skarsgård pixelated naked ass. And yeah, it was fun. It continued things along nicely. It started setting up Guardians of the Galaxy, which is kind of cool. I'm not going to give any spoilers about how it did that, but it does set it up and gives you kind of a more cosmic viewpoint on the whole thing, which is kind of great. The Marvel Universe is becoming an interesting thing for me. It's expanding out with each movie in interesting ways, setting up, and they're thinking ahead, which is really great. They're not just thinking ahead one movie. They're thinking ahead four or five movies, which is kind of cool. I don't think everything should be the one-off blockbuster the way the Avengers was, for instance, but it's not bad to have a movie that makes about $500 million, moves the franchise along, and is a lot of fun for young and old, and I kind of like that. They're a lot more fun than the DC movies. I mean, the Superman and the Batman movies are grim-ass things. They're trying to take the kind of gravitas road, but they're not getting there because they don't have the humor, they don't have the joie de vivre, and they don't have the sense of joy about being a superhuman that the Marvel ones have. Remember the first Iron Man movie with Tony Stark taking off for the first time in the Iron Man, and I'm whooping with joy? You don't get that shit. You get Superman doing the three-point kneel and then zooming up in the air, but you don't see him loving the fact that he can fly. And that's the big problem with it as well. It doesn't have anywhere near the sense of wonder of even something like Ang Lee's Hulk. I rewatched that one recently because I kind of like it. And there's a kind of weird and wonderful power to Hulk running and jumping through the desert. There's something there that the DC movies lack. And yes, it's not perfect, and yes, they tacked on an extra ending at the studio's insistence and fucked it up, but I still like the way that Ang Lee had the dissolves and wipes in the comic book style, and I think Eric Banner was pretty good as Bruce Banner as well. It had Sam Elliott in it, which is never a bad thing, and even though they were about 5 years from having the CG right, I think it's an honourable early attempt at the Marvel Universe in that sense. But anyway, moving along. About 20 or 30 years ago, Richard O'Brien, who did Rocky Horror, did a musical called The Stripper, which was based on the Carter Brown detective novels. It never really got much traction. It did play here in Australia on stage, and there was a soundtrack album. It starred Terry Donovan, who was the father of Jason Donovan, who people might know from the TV series Neighbours if you were a shut-in in the 1980s. Now, the reason I'm playing this one isn't because it's science fiction, because it's not, but this track is called Man of Steel, so I thought I'd do it in honour of the really turgid Superman movie that just came out, and it's quite memorable.
I've heard people say I love you when they really mean I'd love to. They sing evasive phrases full of euphemistic praises. So I hope I won't cause friction if I expose the swollen diction.
I wanna fondle your tits, I wanna kiss all your bits. You frazzle my nerves with your wonderful curves. You dazzle my eyes with delectable thighs. Your body's terrific, to be more specific. I don't know which part to start on. You make me feel like a man of steel. Baby, you give me a hard on. I want to rip off your clothes and suck on your toes. Do the primitive dance with my hand in your pants. Want to dribble and leer with my tongue in your ear. Your body's fantastic, you drive me frantic. I don't want to beg your pardon. You make me feel like a man of steel. Baby, you give me a hard on.
If you play hard to get, you rarely get got. Why sidestep the fact when your pants are red hot? Let's forget crashing waves and the rest of that smokescreen jargon. You make me feel like a man of steel. Baby, you give me a hard on.
That's a very rare track. I had to rip it off a cassette by myself. Anyway, I remember back when the Apollo program was hot shit, and then suddenly somebody decided that they were going to put a hot rod on the spaceship to let the American astronauts fang around the lunar highlands, doing rooster tails and chucking donuts and in general having a good time. I would have loved to have been on the lunar excursion rovers, those wonderful dune buggies they created for just going to the moon. And if I had the opportunity and was on the moon and was tooling around on one of those moon buggies, this is the song I would play just to be very cool with. It's Les Baxter's Calcutta. People used to make jokes about how Mama Cass died eating a ham sandwich and all that kind of thing. But I kind of thought she was cool. She was cool in the Mamas and the Papas. She was particularly cool because she did a kids movie. Back in 1970, she played a witch in the H.R. Puffin Stuff movie known as Puffin Stuff. And she sung a song, which is kind of an anthem for people who are freaky and weird. And I thought I would share it because it's very cool. And I've also got the lobby card of Mama Cass sitting in a bathtub full of fruit singing this song. So here it is, and it's called Different.
When I was smaller and people were taller, I realized that I was different. I had a power that set me apart. I learned to take it, to use it, to make it. It's not so bad to be different, to do your own thing and do it with heart. Different is hard, different. At first I'd wonder what hex I was under. What did I do to be so different? Then I discovered some others like me. Wonder no longer, together we're stronger. It's not so bad to be different. Be true to yourself, that's what you must be.
Okay, I'm recording the rest of this a little bit later than earlier on. We've had Sal's birthday party, her 40th birthday party here, which had a horror theme. And so we had the house yesterday full of zombies and all sorts of things. We had food with dismembered fingers sticking out of it and eyeballs. And we had a plastic skull covered in cream cheese and meat, so it looked like a skinned head, and all sorts of other weird and wonderful things like that. And this morning, and this is kind of the big thing at the moment, the Day of the Doctor Who episode with three doctors in it. Watch that. I enjoyed it, and I thought it was quite fun and good. Sal went, oh, I'm pissed off with this because I don't understand time travel, as she does. And I had to explain some things to her, but yeah, she sat down and watched it anyway. And I'm taking a break from packing up all of the detritus left over from the party to complete the podcast. So I recommend you see Day of the Doctor if you haven't already, and chances are everybody's seen it. The whole planet's abuzz with it. Twitter can't talk about anything else at the moment because there are no political sex scandals or WikiLeaks going on at the moment, so Doctor Who is the meme du jour around the world. The weather for the party yesterday was pretty shitty, really. We had intermittent rainstorms coming through, but fortunately we had it all under cover. The cats ran for cover. We had children playing with remote-controlled tarantulas around the house. So it was wonderfully chaotic and quite fun to get everybody together and just hang out with like-minded good people. So that all went well. The other thing I did was, Thursday night, I did the radio gig. And we had a 5-minute shout-out for Sal's 40th birthday on her birthday. It went all the way across the Northern Territory on the radio and via the internet across the world. A birthday greeting for Sal. I've worked out how much the area are covered by radio. ABC Darwin covers the whole Northern Territory of Australia, which, dig this, is 1.4 million square kilometres. So, for her 40th birthday, I got Sal a shout-out from Ivor and I, which covered 1.4 million square kilometres. So, can't really say I didn't do justice to her birthday there, but I thought it was quite cool that I was able to do that and that Ivor got on board with it. I don't know whether it's within the ABC charter to do shout-outs to people's wives for their birthdays. We did it anyway and enjoyed it a lot. I'm back to the music now. That was Robert O. Raglan's theme to Q the Winged Serpent, the Larry Cohen movie, which is one of my guilty pleasures from the 1980s. Michael Moriarty was never better than in that film. I really should see if it's out on Blu-ray to pick up a nice new digitally popping copy of it, because it is one of the fun movies. I think Larry Cohen's a very kind of underestimated genre director. Between Q the Winged Serpent, They Live, and The Stuff, I think that he's got a good basic portfolio of genre works that really don't get a lot of love, because most of them were done with low budget and he wanted to maintain as much of the creative decision making as he could with it. But I've got a lot of respect for the guy, and I do like what he does, and I'd like the fact that Larry Cohen science fiction or horror movie isn't like anybody else's stuff. And that's a virtue that, as time goes past, becomes increasingly valuable for somebody who loves genre movies. Years ago, when the internet was young, there was a parody musical of Silence of the Lambs done and released on the internet by a couple of guys called John and Al Kaplan. Now, it's politically incorrect as all hell, as you'd expect from a Silence of the Lambs musical. And I wish I could stop bumping my microphone. And I did, digging through a whole bunch of CDs of things that I downloaded and kept from the internet, I found my copy of Silence, the musical. And there is a song ostensibly sung by Hannibal Lecter in it, which is very politically incorrect. It does use unseemly language, so you can skip it if you want to. But I thought for archival purposes and for the delectation of the sick buggers I know that listen to this podcast, I would play one of the tracks from it.
Now, what did Miggs say to you? Multiple Miggs in the next cell. He hissed at you. What did he say?
He said, "I can smell your cunt."
I see. I myself cannot.
I could smell her cunt. She'd help me taste humanity again. And if I promised not to eat her then, perhaps she'd even be my friend. If I could smell her cunt. If I could smell her cunt. If I could undo who I am, I'd snap my fingers, brand new man. I want to smell her bearded clam, I almost can. Trapped behind this pane of glass, a man who reeks of taste and class. I'm sitting on my bony ass, and now this woman. I'd like to tell her I don't care, but something in her eyes. I'd like to tell her life's not fair, the smell between her thighs. Lonely, lonely lunatic, I want to know what makes her tick. If only she would let me pick her pretty brain. I want a new relationship, the kind that challenges my wit, the kind that doesn't leave behind a bloody stain. If I could smell her cunt, she'd help me find the man I used to be. And if I promised not to serve her as an entree, she'd be friends with me. Solve this case, perhaps they'd let me leave this place for one that has a bit more space. I want to see a tree. Lonely, lonely lunatic, I'm charming but I'm also sick. I need an audience for my shtick, perhaps it could be she. If I could do it all again, I wouldn't harm a fly. Erase the gruesome things I've done and smell her cherry pie. My simple little wish, I could reclaim my grasp on sanity. I bet she smells like tuna fish. If I could smell her cunt. If I could smell her cunt. Am I crazy? I can't tell. 8 years rotting in this cell. Feels a lot like I'm in hell. If only I could smell her cunt. Smell her.
There's a bit of Danny Elfman in that, really, isn't there? It's pretty much in the same vein as a lot of the stuff he did for Nightmare Before Christmas. That was a track called Strange Galaxy, which is actually the theme to a science fiction TV show. Back in the 1960s, after Star Trek came out, Australia tried to do a kiddie version of Star Trek and copied a few costume designs and things like that from it. And the show was called Phoenix 5. It didn't star anybody big. It starred Mike Dorsey, who later on went to do a couple of soap operas on Channel 10. But the music is very cool and much, much cooler than the TV series ever was. If you want to see some bits of Phoenix 5, they are on YouTube, and they don't date well, unfortunately. I'd like to say there was a fantastic genre show from Australia, but unfortunately, it was not. It was pretty damn bad, low budgets, scriptwriters who didn't know what they were doing, didn't know anything about science or science fiction, and just winged it because of that. But anyway, moving along, I'm going to do a track, a favourite track of mine, from the soundtrack to the TV miniseries Wild Palms, which was done in the 1990s. It starred Jim Belushi and a few other people. Kim Cattrall was in it. And it was a very cyberpunky miniseries. In fact, William Gibson did a cameo in it, which is kind of cool. I've got it on DVD here. And every now and then I pull it out and watch the 6 or 8 episodes of the thing. And it's now become an interesting retro future. The future didn't turn out the way that it did in the miniseries, but things went off at a tangent. It's got Robert Loggia in it as well. A number of different good actors. Nick Mancuso's in it. Robert Loggia. A few other people like that. This is a track by the composer Ryuki Sakamoto called Classical Cyberspace. Yeah, that one's not my usual kind of music, but I kind of like it. I like the idea of a classical cyberspace, and it's very creepy and ambient, so I went with that one. I've also checked in social media while I've been doing that, and yes, people are still talking about Doctor Who, like he's cured cancer or something like that, but hopefully that'll die out the next time a Marvel movie comes out. But in the meantime, people are squeeing all over the internet on Facebook and on Twitter. And, yeah, it's a pretty, pretty weird thing. Anyway, that's about it. I'm going to be back in 2 weeks' time with another effort, another Martian Driving podcast. In the meantime, take it easy. Sorry I didn't get to do movies this time, but between Sal's birthday and everything else, it just got a little bit too much for me, so I thought I'd do a bit of a filler here. But anyway, look after yourselves and keep watching the skies.